Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you've had a good week. Lord's been good to you this week. As I say each Sunday, I know he's been good to you that to the point that we haven't went out in the hospital and you're in the house of God. We're thankful for that. I'm glad to have everybody this morning. Hope and pray that the Lord will be with us today and that we'll have a good day in the Lord. It's always good to for the Lord to bless us, and he does bless us, and the Lord wants to bless us. The Lord really wants to bless everybody. But sometimes people don't allow the Lord to bless as he would like to, and as was read in our devotional this morning, God's got some things he desires, but sometimes men hinder that. And so we'll be talking about something like that this morning. I'll be teaching a lesson this morning out of St. John chapter 20, and we'll try to finish up that chapter today. And I've been in this chapter quite a while, and I hope and pray that that it'll be a blessing for you, and give me some water. And so turn your Bibles to chapter 20 of St. John, and we'll see what the Lord's got for us this morning in a Sunday school lesson. Say again, it's good to have everybody here. I hope and pray that it'll be a blessing for you today. And as I've already said, the Lord wants to bless. God's not some old fuddy-duddy up in heaven that's done forgot everything and he's been around so long till he's senile. That's not who God is. God is very present, and I hope and pray that he'll bless me and you today, and we need it. I think if my memory serves me correctly, I got down to verse 24, but I want to back up and read, start at verse 21. Now, let me give you the setting of where we are. Jesus has risen from the dead. And I read to you out of Hebrews chapter 9 where that he went into heaven itself and offered his blood for the sins of the people. Now he offered his blood for atonement for everybody. You know, now that does not mean that everybody will get saved, but it means that he tasted death. Thank you. He tasted death for everybody, for every man. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. One fellow said, well, why did he die for me? Because God put our sins upon Christ, and Christ went to Calvary as a sacrifice for sin. So he once died for sin of the sinners. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Of course, I touch that verse most every Sunday, but I need to because I need to keep it upon our minds that in our flesh we are depraved before God. Now, some people says, well, I'm a pretty good feller. I keep the Ten Commandments the best I can. Well, let me say, if you go to keep the Ten Commandments, it didn't say keep them the best you could. It said you got to be perfect. And there's not but one man that ever kept all the commandments of God perfectly. And that was Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm not as bad as old Sam down the street. Well, I know it. Maybe you're not. Maybe, and I appreciate my neighbors being moral people. I appreciate the fact that my next door neighbor wouldn't come over and steal my tools. I appreciate that. But that don't with God, that does not count towards salvation. And I want to get that. I want us to get that clearly. See, now here's the way it is according to the Bible. And I got some people here that would witness to this. If we've sinned one time, we've broken all the commandments. Now you can read that in the book of James. See, you don't have to break them all. But if you just break one, in God's sight, you're just as guilty if you broke them all. Now I know, one lady told me, said, y'all teach a mean-spirited God down there. No, I have to teach. Brother Bell has to preach what God said about it. See, if you come down here and we just patted you on the head and said, yeah, you're a pretty good feller, and you live your life and you wind up not in heaven, what would you think of what we told you? And can I say while I'm right there, there's lots of people in the earth doing that today. They're just making people feel good. Now, I'm your friend, and I want you to feel good. But I want you to feel bad first. Because when God's Spirit makes us feel bad about our sins, and there's a reason for that. And when you get saved and you look back, you'll see what it was. I pray often, thank you, God, for making me feel bad about my sins. Because if people just feel good about their sins, they just keep going. They just keep going. Those people over at the casinos, why the boy they, if you got a television and you watch all them ads they got on there, everybody's just doing fine. They're feeling good. But I got news for you. When they lose their money and go home, the next day they ain't feeling too good. And them people that owns them casinos, they plan on you losing your money. In fact, they got it programmed where they guarantee that you will.
Right.
If you didn't lose your money, they wouldn't make any because they're not printing money over there.
Right.
They're taking somebody's money. And I hope you don't go there. And for God's people, he commanded you not to covet other people's things. If you're saved, you know, the Bible tells me and you stay out of there. All right, I'm just passing by that. Thank you for listening to me. All right, verse 21. Oh, Jesus has risen from the dead. He had gone to heaven that morning. He come back for prayer meeting that night. And as I said last Sunday, did Jesus go to heaven at the speed of light? No, he went to the speed of thought. Jesus was so powerful, he could just think, I want to be in heaven. He's there. He could be in heaven. He'd say, I want to physically be on earth, and he's here. See, that's how powerful he is. See, I hope you believe that. Because he got back down here for prayer meeting. Now, he come back down. I won't deal with that too much today. He come back down to get some people ready to teach a New Testament church the things that me and you practice today.
Right.
See, all right. But he came back down it said, and let me read verse 19. The same day of the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled. For fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them, in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now that's a really important statement right there. Because Jesus is going to send men to preach to other men. That's our dispensation. See? Now the dispensation of the law, the law was to Israel. There's only one missionary that I know of that went out of Israel in the Old Testament, and that was Jonah. And God did that by grace. He did that by grace. And so, but the Lord is getting ready to send people into all the earth. Now, he hadn't said it yet. He has not told them yet. Next verse. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. What does that mean? Jesus is saying here, I am going to give you power, spiritual power, that when you preach, you will be able to move men's hearts. That's what he's fixed to say. Now, all of you have been somewhere where somebody's made speeches. You've been either to school, or you've been to the county fair, or you've been to some meeting where somebody's speaking. And their speech sometimes does not move you. And sometimes at church, speech does not move you. I know that. But God has given men speeches that they have power to draw hearts of men. Not because of the man, but because of the gift of God, the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, now the Holy Ghost is real. And I know if you watch TV very much and some of that, the Holy Ghost is not in some of that jumping up and down. See? Now, you might jump up and down. And if you jump up and down with joy in this church, we say amen. We if that's what the Lord wants you to do, that's what we want you to do. But so many people are putting on a show with it. See? So many people are making a mockery of it. So I want you to know that as I went by this. Now, I want to read on here. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Did you just notice how many times that Jesus said, peace be unto you? That's his message. He wants peace to be unto you. See? Now, sometimes people says, but Brother Glenn, I don't have any peace. I know it. I know it. That's because of conviction. The Bible calls it conviction. The Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the only begotten name of the Son of God. See, when you believe in Christ, when you confess your sins, and let me say this again, because the Lord's pressing me to say it. If you're lost, and everybody's lost, hadn't experienced salvation. That's not what I say, that's what the Bible said. See, if you're lost, the Holy Spirit is saying to you in your heart, not an audible voice, you're not going to see an angel, you're not going to hear an audible voice, in your heart, the Holy Spirit is saying, you need the Lord. You need the Savior. You don't have peace. You don't have peace. But when God saves you, he gives your heart peace. That's how you know it's happened. That's how you know. He don't wash you literally in blood. That's in heaven. Now he does wash, and then Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, who washed us in his own blood. As far as me and you are concerned, that's figuratively. But the real deal happened in heaven in your behalf. The night or the day you got saved, up in heaven, Jesus Christ was presenting blood for your sins and washing them away. That's why we said last Sunday, or Sunday, when we examined the record in heaven of saved people, no sin there.
Right.
No sin there. Why? It was washed away.
Amen.
So I'm back to the lesson now. Peace be unto you. See, he gives us peace. And let me say, until you get peace, don't fool yourselves in thinking that you're saved.
Right.
And I'm not trying to lose anybody there. I'm just saying God will give you peace. Okay? Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now, Jesus said that to a saint. Now, can I say that to you saints that's here today? Are you believing in Christ like we should? See, we should believe in him. We should trust him with everything. See, because he's the Almighty. All right? And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Right there, the scripture tells us that Jesus Christ was God.
Amen.
See, he was God. He is God. See, in the past, before God created heaven and earth, the Trinity, as Brother Bell aptly taught us about the Trinity, they made a covenant. And God the Father was going to create Adam. And his foreknowledge knew that Adam would sin. But God was so sovereign, he created him anyway. Knowing that he was going to have a world of sinners. But God the Father and God the Son made an agreement that God the Son would leave his glory. Would leave his glory, his glorious place in heaven, and come down and take on him the form of a man of Adam's race. Now, let me be careful right there. Jesus was not Adam's son. Jesus was God's son. As foretold us in the first two chapters of Matthew, where Mary, the virgin, had a son. And yes, it is Baptist doctrine that Jesus was born of a virgin. If she was not born of a virgin, Jesus is not deity. If she wasn't a virgin, he might be the son of a Roman soldier. But the Bible is very clear on that. So God overshadowed her, and she became, bore God's son. But he lowered himself to appear in the shape of a man like me and you.
Right.
And there's two great blessings in that. There's two great blessings in that. Number one, he came down in perfection and lived the law to a jot and a tittle for me and you. And the law said that a rich man could rescue his brother. If his brother got in debt real bad, well, one of them rich Jews could just go buy him, pay his debts off, and he'd go free. And if you're saved, that's what Jesus done for your sin debt. He paid your sin debt, and you'd go free. That was a good deal for Jesus to come down. See? Another reason he came down was that he could be in our form, and still be the Son of God, and he could save us. See, we're going to heaven on his goodness. Hello, no man's going to heaven on his goodness. Like one preacher said, he said it's like if If me and you went to your parents' house, if your parents are still living, said, if I went over there and knocked on the door by myself, said, they probably wouldn't let me in. But said, if I went over there with you and we knocked on the door and they saw that I was with you, they'd say, come in. That's the way I'm going to heaven. I'm with Jesus, and the God the Father is going to say, come in. See? And that's the way it is. That's the way it is. But Jesus came, and as I said, he lived in this world, and glory, glory to his name. When Thomas said, when Thomas said, my Lord and my God, verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's to me and you. See, I haven't seen Jesus in person. I've seen him spiritually, but I haven't seen him in person. And you won't never see him in person on this life. See, we'll see him in person over yonder because he is a real person. He is a real person. When he appears in the air, every eye shall see him. We shall see him as he is. See? And he's a real person. But right now, we are in the spiritual dispensation. Spiritual dispensation means God deals with us spiritually. See? Angel's not going to appear to you, say you're lost. The Holy Spirit's going to appear to you and say you're lost. That's why your heart's heavy. See, he does that so that you will know you need something. People don't come to church, don't ever have any calling in their heart about their sins. And one preacher said, they go to hell happy. They're just happy and, you know, they're happy to go to the casinos. They're happy to go to the beer joints, the bars. And all that stuff you see on television that they advertise, that makes them happy. But if you've been really born again, it makes you happy to come where the gospel is preached and where we are encouraged to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. And according to what I see on the news, as Brother Tim said yesterday, It may not be long. And I'm just saying, as your friend now, I'm not trying to be mean to you. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day to come? You can be. And everything that I've said this morning, let me say this. God loves you, but he don't love your sins. See, I mean, yeah, 1 John said God is love, and he is. But the first thing when you say, I want to go to heaven, I feel condemnation in my heart, the first thing God's going to deal with you about is your sin. See, now you can deal with that in several ways. You can say, well, my sin's not too bad. But let me say to you, as I said a while ago, when it comes to salvation, there are no big sins and little sins. We're all sinners. And yes, as I already said, some people are morally more degraded than other people. But everybody is bad off as you can be spiritually. See? So Jesus died that God to pay your sin debt. That's what we're hollering about this morning. He rose again to be our mediator. And last Sunday I read to you, I believe it was last Sunday, out of Hebrews chapter 9, where he went into heaven itself and offered his blood as a sacrifice for sin. Now that blood paid everybody's sin debt. But you got to be a participant. You can't just sit on a seat and say, well, Mr. Pollard, now, if he paid my sin debt, I'm saved. No. No. For by grace are you saved through faith. See, God's grace, your faith. See, my old preacher said one time, and I thought it was kind of outlandish when he said it, but after I got saved, I found out it is a pretty good example. He said it's kind of like a stretch of rope across the Grand Canyon. I don't know how many of you have seen the Grand Canyon. I have. And it's a big hole. The preacher said it's kind of like they stretch a rope across the Grand Canyon. And here's a man with a wheelbarrow. And he says, do you believe I can roll you across the Grand Canyon on that rope? And another fellow said, yeah. He said, well, get in. That's the way getting saved is. You believe Jesus can save you? Well, get in.
Amen.
Faith. Have faith in him. But God's going to deal with your sin, and you can get rid of it if you confess it. A broken heart, a contrite spirit, the Bible says, is the man that God looks to. See? So, confess our sins to God. Yes, God, I am a sinner. Even if you just sin that much, we're sinners. But Jesus died for little sins, and he died for big sins.
Amen.
See what I mean? As I stated last Sunday, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. See? We take people that we've heard of as been notorious sinners, and I like to use Saul of Tarsus. He was pretty notorious, wasn't he? He was going around killing Christians and arresting them. I'd say that's a pretty heavy sin in heaven, wouldn't you? Killing God's kids. If you was a judge and somebody's killing your kids, and it took a lot of grace for you to give them, wouldn't it? That's right. It takes a lot of grace for God to forgive you. But he will. That's the good news. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See, you couldn't work for it. Couldn't work for it. One preacher preaches that people in hell is going to stay in hell because they're paying on their sin debt. But they never get it paid. They pay on it. But they just can't get it paid. That's the way people are today that believes my good outweighs my bad when I get, see, you can pay on it, but you can't never get it paid.
Right.
But Jesus made one payment. That was his shed blood, and it paid for everybody's sins.
Amen.
See, what can wash away my sins? I hope you feel that way. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's right. That's right. And let me say again, a scripture that I quote pretty often in this class, but I do it because I want you to get the point. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Another name, none other name. See, the Buddhists don't get it. Muslims don't get it. Seventh-day Adventists don't get it. See, I'm not being mean. Just telling you what the Bible said. See? All right? Verse 20. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, that's a very good scripture there. Life. What's he talking about that you might have life? You say, Mr. Pollard, I'm already living. I know it, but me and you are looking at the graveyard. He's not talking about this life. He's talking about giving you everlasting life.
Amen.
Will your mind let me just a minute? How long is everlasting life? You just live on and on and on and on. After a million years, it's not ended. See, he gives everlasting life. Everlasting life. The Bible speaks of us being saved like everlasting life, eternal life, live forever and ever. And when I read in Revelations, I shudder with horror when I read a scripture in there. It says, and the smoke of their torments ascended up forever and ever, and they had no rest day or night, being in torments. See? That's what God's got for people that are sinners. See, if you don't get rid of your sin in this life, sin will get rid of you. That's just the way it is. One man said, well, that don't make me feel too good. And I said, well, what I'm saying is not designed to make you feel too good unless you got peace in your heart. Now, if you got that peace I was talking about a while ago, it don't bother for you for me to talk about hell and people in the lake of fire.
Right.
I don't bother you. Why? Because you're not going. You say, Mr. Pollard, can I know that? You can know it.
Amen.
You can know it. Most people say, well, I got saved once that didn't last. No, you didn't. Because saved means safe. Jesus Christ has not lost a one. What he told God in chapter 10 of John, isn't it? Huh? All that you've given me, come unto me, and I've lost none. Now, if he lost one, I'd be the first one out, I feel like. But he hadn't even lost me. And when you look at me, you say, man, you don't look too good. I know it, but I cost a whole lot. You see what I mean? And can I leave the lesson with you this morning saying that Jesus Christ died for sinners? Paul put it this way. He died for sinners of whom I'm chief. In other words, Paul was emphasizing you can be really bad and God will forgive you. Boy, that's better than your next door neighbor will do, ain't it? Huh? For he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever. Now that leaves it up to you. Leaves it up to me. Whosoever. Leaves it up to you. Whosoever will. Will what, Mr. Pollard? Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Repentance is a broken heart, admitting to God that you're a sinner and you're going to hell. That's what I had to do. When I admitted to God I was going to hell, he saved me. Right then. I mean, my burden was gone. Now, I don't tell you what to do. I don't give you recipes. The Holy Ghost will give you recipes. See, I mean, one man went down to the temple to pray, and two men went down to the temple to pray, and one stood up and said, now, God, I thank you that I'm a good feller. I'm not as bad as this poor man coming right here who was a publican. Now, in the Bible, that means he's just a common sinner. He might have been a tax collector. But Jesus said, but the publican would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but smote himself on the breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Think about that now. Jesus said, I tell you, that this man went down to his house justified. So you got to admit it. You got to admit you're a sinner to God, not me, not Brother Bell. We do not know, and let me say this because I feel a need to say it. No human being on the earth or ever was on the earth except Jesus Christ can forgive sins. No man can forgive sin. Don't you let somebody talk you into letting, trying to get somebody to forgive your sin. They can't do it. They can't do it. Only Jesus Christ can forgive sins. See? Why? Because he paid the perfect price for sin, which was his shed blood on Calvary. His shed blood on Calvary. Then he gathered his blood up. I don't know if that's figuratively or actually. I don't know. And took it up to heaven that Sunday morning and offered it to God. And he wouldn't let Mary touch him because he had to appear without spot, according to Hebrews. And he did appear without spot to offer his sin for a sin offering for me and you. Isn't that good? No wonder Christians love the Lord. I love him. But he first loved me. There was a time when I didn't love him, Brother Josh. There was a time when I was an outlaw. But since he saved my soul, I tell everybody that'll let me, I love him. And he loves me. As bad as I look, he loves me. And I'm grateful for that. And I thank you this morning for listening to me. I hope and pray that I have presented God's word in a way that I want to be your friend. I'm just giving you friendly advice. I'm not trying to be your judge. I'm not trying to offend you. I just hope and pray that God will take the words as spoken by these men in this church and by Brother Bell, our pastor, and will convict your heart, let you know I'm not right. I'm not right. Something will say in your heart, I'm not right. I'm not right. That's God. He's trying to warn you that you're not right. But you could be, because God so loved the world. That's a world of people, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. See, not historically, and with your heart, with all your heart, should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for listening to me this morning. I'm out of time, and I hope and pray this has been a blessing to you. Say again, I love you. I'm not hollering at you. I'm not judging you. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just presenting what God said in this book here. And I pray for you. If you don't know him, I pray for you. All right. How many of this morning?